Your attention, please. Ladies and gentlemen, you are now listening to the Chop Sports Network. Chop Sports.
The Yankees will not make any more big splashes, quote Chris Gucci. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Feel Good Friday. It is Friday, July the 30th. Got the date right today, 2021. Your host, Sturch and Gooch, and, of course, behind the glasses, AJ, working diligently on getting some of our content out there on all our social medias later on. So, Gooch, my man, you said it yesterday. We were both in kind of agreement that the Yankees weren't going to make any more big moves.
I didn't expect them to make a move for another hitter.
Right. I mean, we don't really need the hitter, right? I mean, we need the hitter considering what happened last night.
We needed another lefty, and I'm happy about it. I don't think Rizzo is. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm on board with the move.
Mm-hmm. Again, and dude, we're not paying anybody. Like, what is that about? Like, how do we finagle and finesse this where we're not paying Gallo, we're not paying Rizzo?
Because neither of those teams wanted to pay them anymore or wanted to.
No, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, how do
they got talent. I think Rizzo's a strong chance he's back with the Cubs next season.
Oh, really? What's he, a free agent?
I think he's a free agent.
So he's a rent walk. Rent a player.
Right, we'll AJ, check that out.
AJ, check that out. He's rent. I know for a fact that Gallo is contracted through next year.
We're already fucking up.
No, it's all good. We're good.
I'm pretty confident he's in his walk year.
This guy almost hit record again. I almost saw what he just did. What's up, dude?
He's set to be a free agent in 2022.
Okay, yeah. Cool. All right, so it's a rent-a-player for now, but it seems like the Yankees are getting involved. You know what I mean? Like, they're buyers. They're complete buyers. Is it over? We'll get into that today. We'll get into also the NBA draft, the splashdown trade that was made right before the NBA draft. And we'll touch on and we'll preview the 2021 New York Jets as a part of our day one of 32 teams in 32 days. We're going to start at the bottom feeders of the AFC East to see if they can make a play this year for at least a wild card spot. We'll see. We got a lot of things to talk about today. But first, we started recording, the U.S. women's team gets themselves a nice little win. So you don't have to put that in your update, AJ. I did see that. They get a penalty kicks win. So that's U.S. soccer news. And of course, again, so we start with the MLB trade deadline madness, but I do want to preface that this comes at a good time considering the fact that the Yankees, I don't know if you why, I know you were doing a lot of stuff in the other office. Me and AJ were in here doing work in here, and we're watching this team get touched up. And the worst part about it was that it was Gerrit Cole again. So it's alarming. Right away, you're thinking, okay, we're getting shut out. And we said it. You said it. The Yankees don't sweep. It's just,
yeah,
and it's honestly a bugaboo this year.
Kind of glossed over the fact that the Yankees got spanked because of all the moves and all the craziness going on with the deadline. So I really didn't get too affected by it. It was a daytime thing. By the time, you know, I was watching baseball at night, I was kind of over the Yankees loss already. As long as we get 2 out of 3 going forward, we're still only, what, 2.5 out of the wild card now?
Yeah, so we're there.
As bad as things have gone, now we put ourselves in a nice position. The Yankees lineup is looking a lot better, obviously, with the moves that we made. Just with the lefties that we have now to insert in the lineup. Allen playing center field. Hopefully he could maintain that role, batting ninth, and he's a switch hitter. So now we have 3 potential lefties in the lineup. I'm happy.
Yankees are 3.5 out. They lost the game yesterday to the Rays, so that's a 3.5 out of the second wild card. But that is strikeable. We can strike. There's no – I know it was even this week or last week I said, you know, the Yankees are pretty much out of any conversation of being the AL East division champions. I still feel that way, no matter what you do. But they're gearing up for this run in, you know, now that August is right around the corner, literally tomorrow.
I don't think that it's completely over because I've seen...
You're talking about the division race?
The division. Just because I've seen crazier things happen, I'm not signing up that... I'm not co-signing the fact that they're going to win the division or maybe I said that wrong. Again, I'm fucking up today.
It's all good.
I don't think the Yankees are going to win their division, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Red Sox collapse and the Yankees go on a little bit of a run.
And make things interesting.
It can happen. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Look, there's still 2 months left. Anything can happen, but the Yankees are surging right now at least in the acquisition department. So yesterday, they add Anthony Rizzo. I mean, that is just, to me, that spells the end of Luke Voit. Luke Voit, I don't want to say he's my favorite Yankee right now. You know what I mean? Like, other than my man Allen.
He's your favorite ex-Yankee.
Well, it hasn't been moved yet. We do have AJ refreshing Twitter at on the hour every hour to find out if either Heyman or Rosenthal or
every passing. Minute on the minute.
Yeah, right, because it's literally up-to-the-minute stuff. We got about 4 hours to go until the trade deadline hits, 5 hours to go before the trade deadline hits as we're recording. So anything that breaks, he's going to flare me down with some smoke signals, and we'll get into that if it goes down. But the Yankees add Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo to this lineup. So now you're looking at the Yankees' potential lineup before we get into the rest of the craziness that was yesterday as far as the trades are concerned. Here's the projected lineup with the two new additions. DJ LeMahieu at second, Aaron Judge at right field, Anthony Rizzo to bat third, first base. Giancarlo Stanton still is, acquiring, holding that DH role hostage at this point. I mean, if he turns it on, he turns it on. Great. Joey Gallo finishes him up or follows him at left field. Gary Sanchez, Gleyber Torres, Gio Urshela, Brett Gardner. Brett Gardner has a chance to now split the everyday stuff with the acquisition of Gallo. So if Brett Gardner is your center fielder,
Brett
he could
Gardner
split.
Is now a bench player, and we got to start Allen.
Right. I wholeheartedly agree with you. Now Gardner, who has been forced to basically play a shit ton more.
I mean, how much help does Gardner need? Yankees making all these lineup moves. I saw that on Twitter, too. It's funny. it was just a tongue-in-cheek joke. It's like, dude, the Yankees got two more lefties. How much help does Gardner need?
Right. That is a big flex on that one. That was funny. But yeah, I agree that Allen should be the starting center fielder right now. He's the hot hitter. I would say he's the faster of the two because Gardner's obviously got, Father Time working against him. But to have Brett Gardner off the bench wouldn't be terrible either. You got Kyle Higashioka on the bench. You got Brett Gardner on the bench. All of a sudden, now what if Luke Voit isn't traded? Now you have Luke Voit on the bench, and he's going to have to accept that role because of the fact that he's become injury prone, and I hate using that term or that phrase, but that's a thing now. He's a big tree fall hard type guy like Aaron Judge.
The Yankees are definitely trying to move Luke Voit. But
there's interest.
They don't have any leverage anymore because everybody knows that they're trying to move Luke Voit. Not that they had much leverage anyway. He's injured constantly.
Well, much like basketball has a sixth man, I feel like Luke Voit is the first one off the bench.
When people say, let's just trade this guy for that guy, teams know the Yankees are trying to move Voit.
Now and they do.
Yeah,
The Rizzo trade.
Yeah, well, right. They kind of knew that anyway because they were shopping him out there. And now that there's the Rizzo trade, the Yankees lost a lot of leverage. I don't know what you could expect back for a Luke Voit at this point.
I mean, I'm looking for an arm at this point.
Any arm.
Any arm. I'm talking, give me two arms. Give me a younger arm and a seasoned vet or something. Just bolster bolster the bullpen because that is where they need the help. And apparently, I watched when I was watching the Yankees in Tampa yesterday, they did show Severino pitching a simulated game. So he's pitching off a mound. He's almost ready to go. So if we get Severino back, Herman stays in somewhat good shape. Montgomery is whatever. Tyon has been okay at best with a couple good starts in a row. Gerrit Cole all of a sudden is the guy that I'm like, oh, come on, man. Like, let's get your shit together. What are we doing here? He got touched up in that first
inning. Going into yesterday, the Yankees had multiple problems on the roster. They still need a pitcher, but they had a big, big issue with the left-handed bats, and they fixed that. They got a little more athletic. They fixed that. But the arms now is we have about, what, 4 hours?
Five.
4 or 5 hours to
Just
go.
Under five, yeah.
So we got about 4 more hours to get an arm. Hopefully Luke Voit materializes an arm. But I don't think that's going to work. We're going to get more of a relief pitcher for Luke Voit. I don't think we're going to get a solid game-ready starter. It's not going to happen.
Well, speaking of solid game-ready starters, I mean, we'll get into the update after we talk about the trade deadline because the trade deadline just took preference over everything. The Dodgers, I mean, we said that,
Scherzer was on his way to San Diego
just swooped on in, bro. That was a big flex by the Dodgers saying like, but I don't even know I haven't dove into the
details,
the price,
the
right? The price for sure. You have it.
For Scherzer and Turner, they had to give up their best two prospects in their entire farm system. Do you want the names for
no,
me?
I'm good.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. He does.
I got to pull him up.
All right. That's fine. But no, for like, okay. So now you're trading away your best two prospects, but you're in 110% win now mode to repeat as champions.
Well, already in win now mode, but the fact that.
And Trey Turner. We haven't even gotten to that.
San Diego was making the push for Scherzer. I think that prompted the Dodgers to say, wait. We're going to beat that. And the Nationals are in a mode now where they want to dump off everybody.
Which is surprising to me. They were in striking distance.
But the problem is, I think even with, all right, how am I going to articulate this? Mm. The Nationals were only making a trade with a team that would also take Turner, I think, with Scherzer. It was more of a salary dump than what could we get back. It was a bonus to get the players back. They would have given that for Scherzer alone,
right.
I'm imagining. But the Dodgers are in a position to say, okay, we'll also take Turner. The Padres aren't.
Okay. All right. So it's more or less like, hey, who can take all of them?
Very similar to the trade that the Red Sox and the Dodgers made way back when they got Adrian Gonzalez and the whole fucking roster.
What do you got, AJ?
I believe that Trey Turner becomes a free agent at the end of this year.
So it's also now a rental player. Yeah. But again, win now mode is apparent for the Dodgers. Now, bro, can you imagine? Just picture this world with the Dodgers rotation right now. Okay. Obviously, Kershaw is one of the best pitchers in baseball. Then you add the Scherzer. Then you have Bueller, right? Right. So he's amazing. What if this whole Trevor Bauer thing gets worked out? And when I say worked out, it's either solved, dropped, or something to that effect where he's back. Bro, where's the hole in that?
I honestly think the Dodgers might have a little inside information that it's not going to work out.
Is that why they pulled the trigger on this?
They pulled the trigger. Now, there could be a shred of they just don't want San Diego to get that much better.
Mm-hmm.
And they're already kind of kicking the heels of the Giants at this point. The Giants have owned the Dodgers this year. The Dodgers are always in win now mode, so it does make sense in that regard. They haven't really paid attention to the luxury tax threshold in the last decade, it seems.
Right. Well, we'll see. I mean, interesting. Just a dominating big move by the Dodgers.
Doesn't mean shit, though. When it comes down to it, they could still lose in a series. I don't think they're gonna, but the NL West is stacked.
Yeah.
They might have to play in a wild card game.
And the reason why I say, before when I was telling you about the Red Sox being kind of going to run away, they added Schwarber. Like, they added another powerhouse at bat to that lineup. And I feel like, look, he's one of those guys. He's very similar to Gallo, I feel like. He's either launching off or he's not at all. You know, so I feel like they added.
That's everybody now.
It seems to be that's the trend. There's nobody.
Everybody's striking out a lot. If you're batting 250, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know that Schwarber walks anywhere near as much as Gallo does. And the Red Sox already have a logjam in the outfield. I don't know. I think Schwarber's a good player. I don't know that that was the right move for Boston at this point because they already have guys to play the outfield. It's not where their team need was.
Yeah.
It looks to me like it was, I wouldn't say a panic, because they're in first place. They have really nothing to worry about at this point.
Right now, yeah.
But I do think that they made a move just to kind of make a move. Not necessarily the right one.
Okay. All right. Interesting take. Look, again, we're now 4 hours and 45 minutes away from the trade deadline. Still rumors surfacing. I was talking to AJ prior to starting this recording. The rumors, Giants could be in play for Chris Bryant. They seem to be almost like a runner-up. Could be the favorite to land Chris Bryant.
I saw a report today that the Mets were linked to Baez and Bryant in a deal similar to the way the Dodgers and acquired both players from the Nationals.
They're so who could take both?
Yeah, who could take both?
All right, listen, the Mets have been quiet. There's been no moves except for the fact that they're trying to get with. Did they trade for Zach Davies or they're trying to trade?
No, they're trying to trade for Zach Davies. I'm fucking disgusted.
All right, 4.57 ERA out of Davies. So I don't know what they're looking for in that. But if they land the Chris Bryants of the world, their lineup gets significantly better right off the rip. So, but Berrios, according to Ken Rosenthal, this was last night, possibility of Twins trading right-handed pitcher Jose Berrios increasing. Sources tell Dan Hayes of MLB, market exceeded Twins expectations. Team now offers in hand. So there are offers on the table. Berrios is going to be on the move. It's just a matter of who they want. Now, virtually all contenders have checked in. San Diego, Toronto, the Dodgers, the Rays. I don't know why the Rays would be. I don't know. That makes no sense because I feel like they're, I don't know. I thought they were kind of sellers at this point. It could be wrong. And the Yankees are also in the
Rays
mix.
Are definitely not sellers ever.
Well,
the way they do it is very different. Well, they're in the running.
That's not true because remember when they're dishing off Archer and they're dishing off the other guy, other pitcher?
That doesn't mean that they're selling. The Rays just traded away Dick Mountain and they acquire a pitcher.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the way they try and do things. They try and kind of, it's a lot of moving parts with the Rays, but they're never giving up. They just have a really, really different way of approaching their roster and the way they pay their players.
It's working. Sort
of. I'd have to look at all the contracts that of all the guys that they gave up and all the guys that they're getting to really understand what the Rays are trying to do. But they're definitely not a seller in terms of just tanking this season. They want to win, for sure.
All right. According to 3 minutes ago, count the Yankees, Rays, Mariners among the suitors for. Oh, all right. That's a Jose Barrios thing again. But in that deal, most sources are saying that this is going to be Voit involved 100%. So Voit is expendable at this point. It's going to heat up. There's a lot going on. Again, 4 hours and change before the trade deadline actually hits. So it'll be interesting. But before we go to break, we do want to figure out what exactly went down yesterday in Major League Baseball. So as far as the scores and the update, AJ, take it away.
All right, I'm here with the Curtis L's House of Sports update. If you need anything for your realty needs, make sure to hit up Curtis L's Houses. Let's start off with the Braves versus the Mets. The Braves defeated the Mets 6-3. The Rays absolutely shellacked the Yankees yesterday 14-0. And what are we going to call it? An absolute eyewear, absolute shutout. The Washington Nationals faced off against the Phillies in a doubleheader. The Nationals won the first of the doubleheader 3-1, while they lost the second of the doubleheader 11-8. The White Sox faced off against the Royals in another absolute eyewear, absolute shutout, where the Royals defeated the White Sox 5-0. The Reds faced off against the Cubs and were able to handle them with ease 7-4. The Giants, again, daddied the Dodgers in an absolute eyewear, absolute shutout. A bunch of absolute shutouts yesterday.
I like it.
And they won 5-0. The Brewers, I don't know if I could say it again, but they shut out the Pirates 12-0.
12, wow, okay. Yeah, lots of runs yesterday across the board.
Yeah, I guess one-sided, though.
No Yankees runs at all.
Tigers faced off against the Orioles. They beat them 6-2, handled them with ease. The Blue Jays beat the crap out of the Red Sox yesterday 13-1. The Athletics faced off against the Angels in a low-scoring affair. They beat them 4-0, and the Padres were able to slightly edge out the Rockies in a 3-0 victory. That is your sports update.
Thank you, AJ, and thank you to Curtis Sells Houses, and thank you to, of course, Absolute Eyewear getting involved here. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm almost disgusted. When you sent me the text, I was with Elena Christina doing her new episode. You said Westbrook to the Lakers, and I was like, disgusting. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Fucking love it.
Warren Brumell of Keyport Law has been practicing for over 35 years and is here to help you in your bankruptcy matters. Bankruptcy is a specialized area of law that requires expertise and experience, and Warren brings both. Keyport Law has handled over 10,000 bankruptcy cases. They will make the process simple and provide easy, affordable payment plans. Warren will get creditors off your back, stop the annoying phone calls, and stop the creditors from contacting your neighbors and former employers. Listeners of Chop Sports will get the first interview free. Go to www.keyportlaw.com and fill out the new client intake form, and they will contact you directly. This firm is a debt relief agency helping people file for relief under the bankruptcy code.
All right, welcome back to the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Feel Good Friday. We already dove into all things MLB trade deadline, and we have AJ on the horn right now talking, actually live talking to Ken Rosenthal. We can't bring that in due to, contract-wise, he can't speak, but we got him burning up the phone lines right now to make sure that if anything goes down, we'll know about it first, and we'll tell you people as you listen to this around 12:30 on your lunch break or later on. Right before the trade deadline or whenever the heck you listen to this thing. But listen, subscribe, like, and of course, definitely, definitely share this with your friends. So now yesterday, NBA draft night, that's where all eyes were and that's where all the focus was. Everybody wanted to talk about the draft. The Lakers make a little bit of a move. And when I say little bit, it disappoints me that the Lakers made this move. They parted ways with guys that were probably gone anyway. Kuzma, I felt like, was going to be on the block. Anyway, it's Kuzma, Harrell, KCP, and a first-round pick for Russell Westbrook.
So what about the move bothers you? The fact that the Lakers got better?
Yes. Well, no. The Lakers got another star. So now this is a complete super team right off the rip. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook. That is literally the roster for any dream team to start. That now looks like the Nets, who have added Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and
Harden.
I don't know why I just drew a blank. Good save there. But like this, I was talking to Jimmy Palumbo last night, whether he was drunk or not, that's another story. But I was talking to him last night. He's like, why bother? Why do the Knicks even bother trying next year when they feel like you're not going to find a championship anywhere out of New York as far as the Knicks are concerned because of the teams that are stacking the way they are?
If things like this are going to bother fans, then they should just stop watching basketball because this is the NBA now.
It is the trend.
That's
what
you're going to get. And the way they went about acquiring the super team, I wouldn't say it's really all that bad. You know, LeBron's been there for now. This is his third season. AD.
It's only his third?
AD like was traded to the Lakers, right?
Another, right, acquisition.
And Russ was traded to the Lakers. It wasn't like these guys teamed up in the offseason. I understand that aspect of things bothering people where they're recruiting.
Like calling each other on the phone. Yeah.
I get that being an issue. Not one for me, personally, but this is a different thing. This is the Lakers front office going out there and acquiring talent. Mm-hmm. Now, LeBron having a guy that on his team that's a star and not a shooter, we'll see how that plays out because basically LeBron dominates the ball and so does Russ. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out with the Lakers. That said, I'm a fan of Bron, Brody, and the Brow, so I'm all in on this.
All right, we got something from AJ. Better be good. What's up?
All right, so I just got off the phone with Ken.
Rosenthal, go ahead.
Apparently, there's going to be a huge run on relievers today, and the two main guys that are going to be traded are most likely Raisel Iglesias. He closes for the Angels, phenomenal pitcher, and Craig Kimbrell, which we mentioned yesterday.
Craig who? Kimbrell?
Kimbrell.
Kimbrell.
Detective John Kimbrell.
All right. Who I hate.
Yeah. Oh. I'm doing his little his arm thingy that he does. So, yeah. So, Rosenthal, 27 seconds ago, you just said that. Expecting good tweet on that one. But, yeah. So, anyway, back to the NBA real quick. So, the way they went about acquiring Westbrook, what's funny to me is what people said on Chop Sports, the Facebook group. If you're not a part of the Facebook group and you're on Facebook, look us up, Chop Sports. They were like, oh, Westbrook equals championship. And I'm like, when's the last time he won one? Is there one? You know what I'm saying? Like, he hasn't really won one, but he's stacked his plate before in Oklahoma. He had players around him. You know, is this going to get him that coveted ring to like really pound down his legacy as one of the best?
They got
to
get some shooters on that team for sure. Russell Westbrook is not going to stand on the wing and bang a three,
right,
and kick out from LeBron, and that's what the Lakers kind of need now. They should
probably, trade for Steph Curry or something, Like, this is where I'm at with
this. I wouldn't say that the Chris Paul thing is done at this point.
Ooh.
Just yet.
Oh, God. This is like, it rubs me the wrong way. Now you got.
I have a feeling that Chris Paul will go play there for a lot less money.
Now that he sees the roster he's about to join, yeah. This is if you can't beat him, join him mentality for a lot of these NBA players. If they can't get it done, they're on the move. If I'm not mistaken, Westbrook requested this trade, right? I want out?
No.
So why? All right, then riddle me this, Batman. Why the hell would the Wizards part ways with Russell Westbrook?
You want to talk about a super team. The Wizards, are they a super team now? They got KCP, Kuzma.
No, they're Neal, not.
Hachimura.
In fact, they stink. But like what?
Look for Bradley Beal to be a top three fantasy pick next
season. Oh, Jesus Christ!
Honestly, I'd take him. Early.
That's fine, but I'm trying to figure out.
He's going
to
get traded too.
I'm trying to figure out the logic here. What's the logic behind the Wizards trading away Westbrook? You just got him. What are we doing?
What was the logic in getting him to begin with?
To improve their team, to make a run, to start building around him. Why part ways? He's been traded 3 years in a row, bro.
He's probably got a fat contract, and that's my point. You got guys like Westbrook. I don't know that people really love playing with Westbrook.
It has to be a thing.
He's a guy where, it doesn't always translate to wins, but LeBron does translate to wins. So interesting. What do we got, AJ?
His contract's absolutely massive. So yeah. For the next upcoming season, he's getting paid $44 million.
Okay, so riddle me this again. And I know the salary cap in the NBA is probably worked a little different in their respective sport than it is in the NFL. How do you afford that? How? By dumping the rest of those guys? Like you think that was an even trade-off money-wise? No way. No way. You're paying LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Westbrook. How are you under any kind of whatever the cap situation is in the NBA?
Looking at it, I have no idea, but it obviously works.
Obviously, yes. Yeah. But I'm saying, but that's like in my mind, that's $120 million or whatever they're making. You know what I mean? Like pull up the LeBron and Anthony Davis contract. I'm very curious. Yes, does LeBron make trillions by doing Space Jam? I get it.
They're paying a lot of these players that are just role players. They're getting $14 million a year. That's like what a good DN gets paid, a really good DN in the NFL, and that's high salary.
I mean, there was guys making.
Look up Tyler Johnson's contract. There's a ton of these guys that are out there making 4 years, $60 million, and they're right. Just people I never heard of.
All right, what's up?
All right, so Anthony Davis is due $35 million.
All right, so 44 and 35, that's 77. Go ahead.
I think 78. 79.
79. Whatever. Go ahead. Math.
And then
stupid.
Lakers, what is it? LeBron's due 41.
All right. So that's $120 million. $120 million for three players. That is absolutely insane. Absolute eyewear insane.
I'm not here to count other people's money.
And I get no, I'm just talking about the rules, bro. I'm just talking about the rules.
Look at other teams. Look at the Nets. How do they do it?
They don't make that kind of money. No way.
What are you talking about?
I don't think so.
What are you talking about?
So you're telling me
that they don't accept max contracts for the Nets?
No.
The Nets players aren't making a shit ton of money. They're not. I could guarantee you that if they're not 120, they might even be more combined.
You think that's a fact?
Yeah,
Harden, Durant, definitely. And Kyrie are getting paid.
The one thing I just want to note, though, is that the normal salary cap right now for the 2021-22 season is $112.4 million. But with the luxury tax, it's $136.6
million. Okay, cool. So even with the luxury tax, they have $16 million to spend throughout their entire roster next year.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Also,
next
that's
year.
Not really even how it works. The NBA is the same as every other sport where that shit is fake.
So I've been on the board of saying that the salary cap could be a myth in the NFL, at least, because you wonder how the Rams and the Saints and all these other teams, they just keep adding when they're already in the red, according to all the websites that you can go to reference this shit. To me, it just doesn't make any sense. And again, more power to the Lakers. I don't like it. The rest of the league is not going to like it because they're looking at their roster like, yep, we can't.
The rest of the
that.
League might not give a shit because I don't think that the rest of the league is really worried about Russell Westbrook going to the Lakers. I'm going to be honest. He's not the
fit. That's a bold statement, Cotton.
He's not the fit. I like it because it's my couple of my favorite players playing together. I don't think that the league is really too worried about it.
All right. We'll see. But yesterday was, in fact, the NBA draft. The only thing I'll say about the NBA draft is that there was, two relative surprises that I talked to AJ about prior. And Suggs falling to the Magic at 5, which apparently he was supposed to be a top 2 pick, top 3.
He's definitely top 4. I thought that was absurd, but
okay. So that's Suggs falling to the Magic, and then the Raptors taking Scotty Barnes when they had somebody already on their roster, right?
They had Pascal Siakam, so they basically drafted his replacement. So they basically made that trade imminent. It's going to happen.
Oh, all right, cool, interesting. We'll see.
Maybe the Lakers will get him.
Dude, I'm tired of this. Stop it. So, all right, those are the only actual two shockers. The Knicks trade back a little bit. They land a couple guys that are, they're serviceable. We'll get more into that as the NBA season gets closer because, look, now you're coming into a time, right, Gooch? This is the time where it is the end of July heading into August. We are now 1 week into training camp. Practices, everybody.
We are entering my wheelhouse.
This is the wheelhouse of Chop Sports that we were not able to dive into last year because we started this podcast in the wild card round and I came on to Chop Sports around that same time. So I didn't have to deal with any Dallas Cowboy banter because we weren't involved. So that's fine. But now it's a fresh start for all 32 teams. What we decided to do as a podcast is to dive into each and every one of these 32 teams. Now, I will preface this. Now, I'm sorry to Nick Schein, who will not be joining us today because I got to him too late. But if you want to talk about your team and leave us a message on the CHOP hotline, do so, 732-200-2970. Call us today, and we'll just save your team. Whoever you are, we'll save it. We'll play it on the show, and we'll talk about your critique and your predictions.
Maybe. Yeah. We'll play it on the show.
Yeah, if you got to be good, you got to sound good. Don't sound like you're hammered at a bar. And actually, you know what? I'm not going to tell you not to drink. Do whatever you want. And most of those bold predictions do come out when the booze is flowing. But today, we start off our one of 32, our day one guys, with the AFC East, and we will start with the bottom. We'll go from the bottom up. So today on Friday, July the 30th, we're going to be talking gangrene, New York Jets football. Now, if you want to hear all the ins and outs, nooks and crannies of the Jets, tune into the Goddamn Jets podcast that airs typically on Fridays. They took the week off this week. They're kind of like getting their, things in a row right now as we move deeper into training camp with some more storylines and all that good stuff. But looking up and down the New York Jets roster, we have the depth charts in front of us. According to, as of late today, we also have the Jets schedule pulled up as well. Now, we will preface this before we get into the roster that the win total odds over under in Vegas for the New York Jets are 6.5. So 6.5 is your over under to bet on the New York Jets. We'll go week by week after we talk about this roster. Now, you got to start talking about right away your new leader. Okay. The guy that they drafted, Zach Wilson. Okay. Which is great for them. They get the new face. They trade away Sam Darnold. This is the new look New York Jets. While Zach Wilson is the guy, I find it hard-pressed to look who's behind Zach Wilson in the event that something happens. Now, being a Cowboys fan, This is what you need. You need an actual serviceable backup. And when I look at this team, you got James Morgan and Mike White. My question is, who? You know, that's scary.
Blake Bortles just became available. That's who I would go after.
The boat himself.
It's not going to be a guy that's going to push Zach Wilson. There is no guy on the roster that's going to push.
So this is 1,000% his team.
100 billion percent Zach Wilson's squad right now. Thank God they got him into camp.
Yeah.
I know that there was like a little bullshit happening. Everybody was kind of talking. It's the most Jets thing ever. Is not. No, it's the NFL. That happens in every fucking, on every team. They end up giving him a guaranteed contract. I think that's a smart thing to do. Yeah, he's the first pick overall. Look at the last couple of years. Or second pick overall. It's the second time I've made that mistake.
That's fine. I think. Because you know what? Nobody cares about Trevor Lawrence. So go ahead. Well, I'm kidding. The Jags do, and we'll get into that.
But I think that's the going rate for NFL quarterbacks as rookies, top five picks. They're all getting guaranteed money at this point.
Now, every quarterback needs a running game. And when you look at the New York Jets running game right now, you're number one, RB1. And look, I'm going to say this. We're saying all this based off what I printed out this morning. But if you know something, AJ, definitely chime in on like this.
I don't think Tevin Coleman's the RB1.
All right. So Tevin Coleman is listed as RB1. Who is RB1 in the New York Jets?
Tevin Coleman's the RB1, but it's going to be a running back by committee for sure. Ty Johnson proved that he was effective last year, and we drafted Michael Carter. He's an exciting guy who's going to be probably a receiving back. LaMichael Pirine's still there. It's going to be a committee.
Okay, so they literally have four serviceable running backs. Tevin Coleman's never carried the load.
Tevin Coleman is going to be the RB1. He might get the first carry, the first play, but he's not going to be the RB1. He's not going to see the boatload of carries over there. There's no way.
All right. All right. We move on to wide receivers. Who is Zach Wilson throwing this ball to? Wide receiver one would obviously be their free agent splash that they had. And I thought when this move was made, I thought that the Jets made the right move. Like Corey Davis came on last year as wide receiver two behind A.J. Brown in Tennessee.
I like the Jets wide receiving core a lot. I think Crowder's very underrated. Last year I had him in four of my fantasy teams, and he was just solid down the stretch.
Definitely.
Guaranteed points. And Mims, I think Mims could take a leap this year. I don't know that Keelan Cole will be the number three for long. Mims is definitely a guy that they drafted high enough as to where they want to slot him in sooner than later. And Cole is almost that guy that has been in the role of the fourth receiver before. I think that's where he's a better fit.
Mims drafted last year, and then they do it again this year with Elijah Moore. So I think that they do have a young, nice little wide receiving core that can definitely help out Zach Wilson. Now, there's also guys on the bench.
I will see Keelan Cole potentially getting cut.
Keelan Cole is a solid receiver.
He's a solid receiver, but what's too much. I don't know that they're going to be paying him $1 or $2 million. I'm sure he's making at least a little bit more than what you'd want to pay a guy that's the fourth or fifth receiver.
Well, what we're also considering is the fact that Keelan Cole is coming from, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars, where their offense was just potent. You know what I mean? They were nothing. What's up?
I think you got a point with that, Chris. He's getting paid $5.5 million.
Yeah, he might get cut. He might get cut because, look, you have a lot of guys behind him to give him a shot. You know what? A funny side story about Vincent Smith. He was drafted at my draft last year, or 2 years ago. Vincent Smith was drafted in a fantasy football draft. And nobody knew who the hell he was. Nobody was like, wait a minute, you got the wrong guy. And I'm like, he's like, nope, he's good. I'm like, nobody knows who he is. And it was like the 10th round. So this guy clearly was never to play again in my league. But Vincent Smith is on the roster as of right now.
I think his parents also don't know how to spell Vincent.
Seriously, V-Y-N-C-I. Jesus.
So you could look for Keelan Cole to be a cap casualty.
We'll see.
That's going to be my thing. I'm going to try and spot the cap casualties on this roster.
I like it. All right, your tight end. You didn't do anything. You did add Tyler Croft. I believe he was pretty successful with Cincinnati, right? Or Buffalo?
Yeah.
One of those two. Maybe both. Yeah, both. Okay, so Tyler Croft is added, but he's going to give a run for Chris Herndon, who just hasn't come on yet as the tight end prospect that the Jets hope he would be. Now, again, he's getting a new quarterback. Is Herndon going to work with, is going to mesh well with Zach Wilson? Possibly. I like Herndon.
I think Herndon's okay. I don't think that he's given it. When you look at the Jets and you want to say that these guys haven't developed yet, a lot of it has to do with the situation that they've been in. They had a shitty, shitty situation. All these young guys haven't really been given the chance.
They haven't been coached.
Yet. Exactly.
Because Adam Gase was just an abomination.
Adam Gase has been a bum. So Herndon, I think, will probably take another little leap forward. I don't know what he's going to actually do.
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of fantasy, and he was always that fringe tight end that I would pick up the spot start here and there. When he was hurt last year, I stashed him on my IR in case when he came back. But you know, we'll see.
Him and Darnold.
I think Herndon has a chance to elevate his game a little bit this year.
I like it.
That was my bad for interrupting. I was just going to say him and Darnold had a really solid connection, and he showed promise.
All right. Well, we'll see. But one thing I can say that the Jets do have is a little bit of an upgraded offensive line. Well, I think I think it helps.
They have an upgraded offensive line, but I think...
Left side.
left side. There's a chance that Vera Tucker, if things go well for them, that he'll play right tackle. I don't think that they really drafted him in the first round to play guard. He played both in college. If the Jets offensive line really wants to take that leap forward, he's going to work out at right tackle because the
interior... And Becton is their left tackle, yeah, so their tackles are nice. Becton
last year had a solid rookie season, ranked out at, I think, 32nd overall. For a rookie, that's where you kind of want to be. You expect him to improve on that number with a little more confidence, a better understanding, and a better coaching staff, to be fucking completely honest. Sal is a really good coach. I mean, that remains to be seen. But
he's a good defensive coach.
I think Sal will have a better, wouldn't say control over his players, but a better handle on how to relate to his players. It's a better way to put it.
Yeah, like you can almost have a conversation with a Sal and you can't go into Gase's office.
The offensive line is the thing that is the biggest question mark, because last year they were supposed to be improved and they really weren't improved. This year they could take a little bit of a leap, but either way I don't see them being much better than middle of the pack.
I do like Connor McGovern. I think he's pretty good. The Cowboys also have a Connor McGovern, so it's not the same guy. But yeah, so anyway, the offensive line improved, but again, a little bit of a question mark. So now we switch over to the defense. Now, this defense is going to be obviously coached up by a defensive guru in Robert Saleh. So I'm excited to see what they can do. Starting up front, your two DNs, I was asking this guy. It does say out as far as injury is concerned. Vinny Curry was added by the Jets, so I'm not sure if he's going to get off to the right track. I'm not sure about that. Their defensive tackles, I dig. Obviously, Quinnen Williams is just the absolute monster, and I think he's going to be a great, great player in the NFL. Sheldon Rankins, Carl Lawson. So when you look at that defensive line, Gooch, do you think they get enough pressure to help out this very, very young secondary? Because that's where it starts and finishes up front. If the defensive line can get pressure on all these quarterbacks that they're about to face, you know, how good can this defense be starting up front?
Well, in their division, particularly, the Patriots have one of the best offensive lines in football. Buffalo's got a really good offensive line as well. Or I shouldn't say really good, but they're better than advertised. And they have a good linebacking core, the Jets. Their secondary is piss poor, so they're going to have to get better at the deep up front, but I don't know, man. I don't know.
This could be a very young team.
This
could be the Achilles heel of the New York Jets. The defense last year didn't play awful. It was just that they couldn't score points either, so that's like the bugaboo here. So when you do move to that linebacker crew, you know, Blake Cashman, C.J. Mosley, Jarrad Davis, I do like C.J. Mosley, obviously. That's their big splash a couple years back. Last year
they're particularly strong anywhere on their defensive unit. Like, they don't have great linebackers, a great defensive line, or a great secondary. They got a player or two here and there scattered
splash throughout. Players, yeah.
And
when did they get CJ Mosley?
Mosley was signed 2 years ago with Bell, but he's only played 2 games total as a Jet. But the one full game he did play, he had an interception, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, and a touchdown.
Damn. Okay. Well, look, I like CJ Mosley. I think he's a very good linebacker, but he's going to have to also be the quarterback of this defense, in my opinion. Now, you look at that secondary. We just said it. Very, very young. The cornerbacks, Bless Austin, Bryce Hall. Marcus May is, I think he's got the most promise out of this whole thing. They did add LaMarcus Joyner to this second. He's not there, right? He wasn't there before. Right
now he wasn't there.
Okay, cool. So I wasn't wrong in that. Corey Ballantyne,
yeah. The Jets suck. Looking at their team, the Jets suck still. Sorry, AJ.
Yeah, I mean, they're Jets Nation. They have reasons to be excited for the optimism that is like Zach Wilson and the offense and the new coach, and it's just a new look. I'm not going to write off the Jets as the last place team, but we're going to do that right now. We're going to see where we stand as far as wins, losses. I don't want to break down every game because we don't know what the rosters are going to look at. So we'll go back and forth, Chris.
Under.
We'll go back and forth, Chris, as we go through the ones, the schedule for the New York Jets, starting with
Sam Darnold right away.
Starting with on the... Now, who the home game's at? It doesn't say at or...
It does.
Where?
At or reverse.
The black ones are the away games and the gray ones are the home games.
Okay. It just doesn't say at anymore.
It says at.
Where does it say at?
In the top, in left, the top corner. Left corner.
It says at. Fuck. Sorry. All right. So at Sam Darnold and the Panthers, I'm giving them an immediate L because this is a Sam Darnold thing, right? Revenge. Not revenge. Well, a little bit of revenge. I think Sam Darnold gets that win.
I think the Jets will be up for that game. That's a good game.
So they're going
to
win?
Carolina has a chance to be improved, but I'm not really completely sold on their coach.
Matt Rhule?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're giving the Jets a win on the road in week one?
Yeah.
Okay. Write that down. Make sure you don't forget.
AJ likes Matt Rhule.
AJ is a Matt Rhule guy.
I do like Matt Rhule.
Then they get the home opener.
I'm not saying that's a win. Hold on.
Well, I'm writing down me. Right, you write down you. Right. You got a pen right there. I want to see
a better game. I wouldn't say it's a guarantee.
So we're both giving them a loss. Can they win, AJ? Can they win?
Can they win against the Panthers?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to put it at 35% chance.
Wow, we're breaking down percentages. All right, so the Jets start off 0-1. They go into their home opener. In week two, the Patriots come to town for their home opener. I got the Jets probably taking an L there on their home opener against the New England Patriots, even though I don't really buy too much of the Patriots. And then you agree, Gooch, on the Patriots are concerned? They're not going to get that win?
Yeah.
Okay. Then they go on the road. This one, I think they can probably take. Denver Broncos team that obviously, you know, they're still finding their quarterback. They're still trying to find their way. I think the Jets can get their first W of the season in week three. You agree? Or you think the Broncos take that one?
I think the Jets are 0-3.
Okay. So the Jets are starting off 0-3 on Gucci's side. They're 1-2 over here. Then they get October 3rd, week four. They're going to take on the Tennessee Titans at home. I think King Henry, it's too much there for the Jets to handle. Week five, they go at Atlanta. They can win that game, I think. With the secondary, the way Atlanta is, they lost all their guys in the secondary. We're just talking about the receiving core being pretty good for the Jets. Zach Wilson might have a decent game here. That game is in London. So it's neutral ground territory for both. I get the Jets to win. I'm gonna take the win there.
Even going to tell you any of this. I'm just going to say the Jets are going 3-14 this year. Just based on, I'm looking ahead.
Damn, man. Why do you have to look ahead? We're trying to break down the goddamn because schedule.
I'm going
to
tell you L.
All right, you know what? Searching. All right, then forget it. We won't go through every game because it'll take too long. So why don't I do this? You got them taking 3-14.
The Jaguars, and I'm just flipping a coin on their other win, possibly Philly.
Okay.
At home.
I like that, personally.
So the Jets might not win a game until November 28th.
Jesus Christ, bro. That's brutal. So you got them at 3-14.
Let's look at the reality of the situation. They have a rookie quarterback that's never played a down in the NFL. They have a brand new head coach. They have a roster that's constructed as is, good enough for the second pick overall coming into this season. The Jets roster is in shambles. They don't have much depth. Outside of receiver position, where are they deep? Factor in an injury or two here or there. AJ talked about Mosley getting hurt 2 years in a row or 1 year in a row, whatever the fuck. He signed 2 years ago, played two games for the Jets, you know, so I can't really bank on him. Any good player the Jets have had over the last three seasons, they traded away. So they have to let that capital that they've received in the drafts start to materialize before I start buying in. I do like their head coach. I do think Wilson could be a turnaround player and maybe change the direction of the franchise, but you know, he's the second pick overall going in to start for a team that's constructed pretty poorly. I can't just say, oh, yeah, things are improving. Yeah, things are improving. If they get an extra win, that's an improvement.
All right. When I'm looking at the schedule up and down, you found the wins in Jacksonville, Houston, and possibly Philadelphia for their three wins. I'll give them two more on top of that. I think they go into Atlanta and win. Or no, I'm sorry, they go to London and win that game. And I think they could beat the Denver Broncos. Outside of that, I don't think they get any wins within the division at all. I think the Patriots sweep them, Dolphins, Bills. You
could potentially just add a division win onto my list just as a thing that typically happens in the NFL where they shock a Miami or a New England, but
they're
definitely not beating Buffalo.
No, I don't see it. So what I got them at 5-12. And last year's record was
2-14.
So a three win jump because of Zach Wilson and the new regime. I think that's okay. If the Jets, look, so I'm taking the under and so are you as far as the over-unders are concerned. AJ, you have an opinion on the over-under?
I'm taking the over because they're going to get exactly 7 wins.
Okay, so if I gave them 5, give me the other 2.
I'm dying to hear you give me 7 wins on this schedule.
So give me the wins. I have the first game with the Panthers.
As a win.
As a win.
Okay.
The game with the Broncos.
Okay.
The game with the Falcons.
Okay, that's three.
The game with the Bengals.
Okay, that's four.
So the Jets are 4-2?
Yes.
Hot start. Go ahead.
No, they're going to lose a bunch of others. They're going to win one of the Dolphins games, just one of them.
Okay. Like you, like Gooch just said, the whole flip of the coin deal.
Or 4-3, I should say.
Okay, go ahead.
I think that's five. The Texans and then Jaguars.
Okay. So look, not out of the realm of possibilities when it comes to that home, that first game, that's going to make or break the win totals, at least. You say they get the win home against the Bengals.
The issue I have with the seven wins, and this is why I don't give them seven wins or even close, because you're just factoring in any team that's potentially not good that they're going to guaranteed win that game. Like, the Jets are also not good. So those teams that are looking at the Jets on the schedule, that
probably looking at them a dub.
Like, okay, we can win that one. Mm-hmm. You know, so you figure if they split those games, which is what they are likely to do in the NFL.
Right.
You got 3-4 wins.
All right. So you got him at 3. Sorry, AJ, I got him at 4. You got him at, I got him at 5. You got him at 7. So we're a little all over the place with the New York Jets. Obviously, yes, to preface this, AJ is a Jets fan. So he's just like me when it comes
to the
Cowboys.
I'll take all bets. Actually, no, I won't. I'll just bet the under.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're confident that the 3-4 wins total. But look, Vegas has a tendency to kind of dig what's going on. And the games he at least pointed out in the wins are winnable games. I'm not going to sit there like, you're not going to beat
that. That's what I'm saying. They're not going to win every winnable game.
Correct. But I think the winnable games on their schedule, they should win, is what I'm saying.
Could win.
Eh, whatever. We'll see.
See he's being the Saints too, but that's another thing.
Not in New Orleans, I don't think. I think your boy Jameis Winston kind of just lights him up.
It's just, if he has a bad game, we'll see. You know.
And that's very possible.
Unless their head coach is just so good and we just don't know it yet. I just think I don't see that.
Here's the thing that I want. I like LaFleur, basically the OC for the San Francisco 49ers for the past 3 or 4 years. He went to the Jets as the OC. He's learned under Shanahan. I think that a lot of innovative things are going to come to the offense.
And I think he coached Coleman, right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, okay. And I think that Saleh, even though, right, we looked at the depth chart. These players are not good. Let's be real. They're not good. Mm-hmm. But I think he's a guy that relates to his players emotionally. I know Richard Sherman looks like a psycho nowadays, but he even said wonderful things about Saleh, about how he relates to players. And I ultimately think he's going to get the best out of every single one of these players. And they play themselves to a 6 or 7 game winning season.
Okay. Not a winning season, but yes, I understand what you're saying.
Six or seven, that's a big swing when it comes to the over-under. It's either they win 6 or they win 7.
So he's right there. Look at the Vegas. Look at that, though. Look, if he's looking at that schedule and he sees 6-7, guess what, Vegas? 6.5. You know what I mean? They know. They looked at the same schedule as us, and they're seeing the same thing. So, I mean, look, it obviously remains to be seen. There's a lot of training camp to go.
I don't want to root against teams just to be right. But I'm kind of probably root against Jets just to be right, because I know I'm going to get heat for this.
That's okay. Heat is welcomed. We want all the smoke here on the Chop Sports Podcast. But that was your 2021 Jets breakdown. So if you're thinking about it, 5-12, 3-14, there's different ways. I will say this, based off the other three teams in the division, the Jets are more than likely to finish last again in the AFC East. Right. I mean, the only team they could potentially scratch and claw with could be a still reeling Patriots team. But the Patriots defense is getting so much better with all their guys coming back. We'll break down the Patriots on Monday as we continue our 32 teams in 32 days as camp has opened for everybody across the board. It's very exciting stuff. We're seeing, you know, highlights of, you know, of course, Mahomes with his no-look passing and all this other crap, and Rodgers is out there working with the rookies.
The disrespect against Rodgers for not getting a 99 in Madden.
He didn't get a 99?
That.
No.
Wow.
Mahomes did, though.
Of course he did. Mahomes is God's gift to the quarterback position.
He fucking owns EA.
I think he might have. Right. He bought the Royals. He bought a Major League Soccer team, and now he probably bought EA Sports as well. So with that being said, this has been another jam-packed episode of the Chop Sports Podcast. Be sure to follow us on all social media at Chop Sports Media. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, review. Drop some reviews for us on this podcast. If you are a frequent listener, our numbers are where they're at right now, but we'd like to have them just a little higher, guys. So football season's coming. Content is coming. We're going to pump out a whole bunch of shit here at Chop Sports. So for Sturch and Gooch, and of course, AJ behind the glass there, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast. Have a good weekend. We will see you guys back here on Monday.
Oh, I'm supposed to say something
now. Yeah, that was your close.
Joe Matarese texting me 7,000 times on the fucking during the podcast.